blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Savaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Savaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sangham Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Savaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gami Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Viridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. the precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts: not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so, not to take that which is not given, not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct, not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority, not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so, not to publish other people's faults, not to extol oneself and slander others, not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings, not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhamma, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. O happy blessed day, O happy blessed place, O happy blessed time, O happy blessed path, O happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiyampi tatiyampi sabaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening, for even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness.
We are here to end suffering.
If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
And you'd like a back jack in the corner, there's some over there. So, what shall we look at this morning? Jen?
I've got something I'm looking at that's one of those places where, just if other people want to speak to it, it's one of those places where I think it's such an interesting place to look in practice. And so often when, like, I hear people talk about it from their own angle, it adds so much. But I've been looking at letting life live. Mm-hmm. And in this case, letting life live through Jen. Mm-hmm. And what a call on that is, because how do I do that?
Right, how do I do that, yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I can't do that.
You can't do that.
And I tries to do that.
I tries to do that. I just reflected you saying you can't do that, but I can't do
that.
Yeah,
exactly. It's not you can't do that, it's mm-hmm. I can't do that.
That's right.
And I tries to do it.
And I tries to do it.
Mm-hmm. And so it's this this amazing place to look, really. Mm-hmm. And at least in my experience, it's a really out of the corner of my eye.
Yeah.
Kind of looking, because otherwise I looks.
Right.
So let's see if I can. I was looking at two kind of sides of it. Yeah. So there's the whatever. Let's say there's a project to mm-hmm. do. And over time, really realizing, which is not something I knew for a long time, it felt like, okay, there's a project, now I've got to do the project.
That's right.
And that's possible. I can do the project. Mm-hmm. And really, really, over time, realizing, actually, no, I can't do the project. But it feels like I can, and that's, for me, that's the place of, like, well, work harder, try harder, try harder, mm-hmm. try, tighten down. Mm-hmm. So that's, think about it. Write stuff down.
Uh-huh. Just really get it so that you've got it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I's got it. Right? The language starts getting funny here.
I's got it,
yeah. Sure. It's like, tighten down. Well, who's tightening down? Who's uh-huh. ruminating over it? Who's writing stuff down? Who's getting control over it?
Yeah.
Out of control is something that you would use to describe it.
Oh, it's definitely. It's definitely attempting to get control mm-hmm. over it. And for a long time, even coming to practice with that, and then of course practice is attempting to interfere with that, mm-hmm. right? Because that is not, it's not who I am, it leads to suffering, mm-hmm. it's just on and on. And yep. so practice interferes with that, and there, for a long time, there was a fury.
Well, it's funny, you say practice interferes with that, life interferes with that,
life
too.
Life interferes with it, but of course, at least in my life before practice, I could just plow ahead and ignore
life
interfering with
yeah, that's
that.
True, yeah, because in a certain way we could kind of manipulate certain things mm-hmm. to get them to be mm-hmm. in a particular way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. One of the big clues for me was, I think it was a best year yet, that process we do each year, mm-hmm. setting annual goals, and Jenny Ditzler, the woman who founded that process, talking about that place of work harder, mm-hmm. can really make it happen. Mm-hmm. And that was a big MO for me. Mm-hmm. And so, as you said, you know, life is interfering with it, but all it felt like to me was, okay, I just have to try harder just to make it happen. Mm-hmm. So really realizing over time, that's not serving anything, anyone. It's not going to get the thing done. And it's just torture for this person.
That's right.
And for anyone else who has to interact with another project.
Right. Uh-huh.
And then there's this amazing place of really seeing that and letting go. Mm-hmm. And my experience is then ideas start coming in so fast, I can't even, wow. It's like a tidal wave.
Yes.
And so the temptation to do something with that.
Right. Now, this is it.
Is enormous.
Uh-huh.
Oh, wait, what? And so that's kind of the two, I'm looking at that razor's edge. Just, what is it to just let life do this thing? Kind of starting with the, I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have this assignment, I don't know. Mm-hmm. And then just metaphorically and literally sitting still with it. Mm-hmm. And then the skill, the mastery of letting this just be an expression of life, an avenue for life to just do what it does.
Yes, allowing life to live through Jen the way it would live if conditioning were involved in trying to have some sort of control over that, or have a say over it, or block the avenues for that expression.
Which, of course, it never would say it's doing, and that's exactly what it's doing. No, I'm really going to make this happen.
Right.
I'm really, because I'm a hard worker. Mm-hmm. I'm going to try hard.
That's right. I'm going to get this gin.
Everything that's possible. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it is a razor's edge, at least in my experience, too. It's like so there you are. You let go. You're just sitting with it. Mm-hmm. Life presents gajillions of possibilities.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, there's the response to that. You know, conditioning's just there, ready to pounce on that and use that for its own evil aims.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, which one?
What? Yeah.
Okay, let me, all right, that, then we're gonna, make it into something.
Make it into something, And you're looking at how to work with that energy, that life living through you in a way that you're looking out of the corner of your eye and actually working with it. You're not doing anything with it. You're simply allowing whatever it is that comes through to continue to keep coming through.
Yeah. Well, what I just saw when you said that is a project. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as before, I was talking about like a literal, like, whatever, work project. But this is a project. And so to approach it in that same way, like, hey, I don't know. And just, can I, it's almost like my only job is to be as still as I can and expand to allow life to take whatever the next step is. Just stay expanded
and not focus in on, or like contract, I would project.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've had this experience of playing sports or something like that, but there's this way in which you're just there with it, and it's like, okay, and then you make a shot, and then all of a sudden, boom, conditioning's there. It's like, we did it. How did we do that? And it's like, and then from there on.
Oh, forget it. You're out.
I'm just thinking about how all those things came together and to make it into something.
Yeah.
And all that happened was I was just present with it.
That's such a great image for it. So every shot is either, well, every shot wasn't great, but there's no meaning out of any of it.
Right.
So practice, you know, that shot went out. That shot was perfect.
Keep going,
not making meaning out of any of it.
Yeah, not making meaning out of any of it, and it's so perfect. When you just said that, it was like the insight will occur to you as it happens, and then conditioning will try to grab onto that insight and make it into something.
Yeah, that's a great shot. Okay. Thinking, you know, of course that can sound exciting and supportive, but is it not the first step to, we're going to just pull you right back in?
Yeah. It's like the last thing I need is stuff going through my head constantly about how it was, because that's not helpful for me where I am now.
Yeah.
Thank you. Oh, Nikki.
That's a really interesting thing to look at. I I was watching myself last week doing some tasks that were somewhat familiar to me. So, you know, they've been done before. They weren't new. They weren't really hard. They were enough to keep me on my, to keep me moving, you know. I mean, that was, but I really could feel in my body the difference between I'm just here and I see the next thing to do. And in contrast to that, this kind of a, I can't find out words for it, but it's like I'm only on so tight and I'm frantic and I'm trying to make it happen and I can hardly breathe and I can hardly stand it, and I wouldn't know what would be the next thing to do in that case. I just have to get it done.
Right, you're just there getting it done, and it's like this kind of energy.
Yeah,
like
it's visceral. It's it's, you know, I gotta make this happen. And then I'm not, according to conditioning, making it happen fast enough, and so I gotta make it happen faster, and then I make mistakes, and then I,
because you're going faster and you're listening to it, and it's like it.
But the contrast to that, this one job I was doing last week, where, you know, I know it enough that I had my plan, you know, this is how I do it. I do this, and then I do this, and then I do this, and the way I plan it, it always ends the same way, and it always doesn't quite get finished because I end with something that takes a while for it to. And as I was doing it last week, for some reason, I was open enough to just be noticing what was going on, and I all of a sudden noticed, whoa, I could, before I do this, I could do that piece of it, and then it would be done, and then that wouldn't happen at the end, and it was just like it just showed up. It was
right.
Like, wait, the way I've been doing it isn't the only way to do it.
Right, yeah, the way it was laid out is not like written on a tablet somewhere.
Right.
You know, that it was, what you had come up with was something that you followed regularly, and then all of a sudden, you just had an insight of a project.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, about how it could be done.
Right. I could do this in a little different order, and I would not come up against the same thing at the end that I usually do.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing I can say as to how that was able to happen was that I was available for it to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's all I can see, is that someone was just there who saw what was possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like what Jen was talking about, life presented you with what it was.
Yeah. Life presenting me with what it was, and I was there to see it.
Yeah.
You know, rather than just zoom, I'm on my plan, you know.
Right.
Don't bother me.
Yeah.
I'm,
get out of my way, because this is how to do it.
I know what I'm doing. Don't, you know, don't stop me.
Yeah,
and I just feel like I had a little example of that while we were sitting this morning in a kind of a little different way. For some reason, I sat down and was starting to pay attention to my breath, and conditioning loves to, like, throw memories at me out of the, you know, like, why that? I haven't thought about that for years, you know?
Right.
And it threw it at me this morning with a kind of an emotional component, a kind of like, oh, wow, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I really miss that, you know? Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I thought, oh, wait a minute, you know, you're okay. You know, and then what just sort of came in was a kind of like, kind of a gratitude. Wow, that was part of my life at once too. You know, I lived that. You know, and it was kind of the difference between being handed something that came through and grabbing onto it in a kind of a personal way. Where I felt it, versus having it come through and just appreciating that, yeah, that was part of life too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then when I got to that place, it was just like it just drifted on through, and I was back to just breathing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, rather than hanging on to some, oh, wow, maybe I didn't do that very well, or I should have, or...
Yeah, because then it would just continue on with where it was headed.
Right, exactly.
You know,
it would have had me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the way you're laying it out, it sounds like the way it would have had you was that you would continue along with the same emotion that, and the same story that was creating that emotion that has nothing to do, of course, with where you are. But what happened in this instance was, wow, you're just grateful for the fact that this had happened in your life, and then it just moves on through because that wasn't part of the, that's not where you were supposed to get, I would project, right. In either way. Because it's just right. It's coming up so that you can keep following along with the story and lose interest in being here completely.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you. Brian?
I had a little practice going on recently around just the notion of I, because it's this really kind of deeply conditioned place. Mm-hmm. And I've noticed a whole host of voices that have their own little kind of niche roles in starting conversations that start with I. And then, you know, a whole chunk of content. And so what I've been doing is whenever I encounter something in the world that a conversation wants to start about, I just kind of remind myself, I'm also that. Mm-hmm. And the purpose is just to basically completely destroy that notion entirely. Like, so I is this little container. Mm-hmm. It's divided off from all the rest of the world. So there's all of experience, and then what I am is this little corner of it, and right. Not that, and not that, and not that, and not that, and not that. And that's where all those conversations are going.
Yeah.
So I see something I don't like, and I'm, you know, and I can't stand it when this happens, and this is so upsetting and whatnot. And it's just, well, I am also that. And I am also the thing that doesn't like that, and I am also, you know, just bringing... folding every single bit of the experience into that so that when those deeply conditioned conversations start with I, it's I, what does that refer to?
Exactly. Because if it's going to say that you're that, well, you can just say, well, I'm all of that too. It's just like it's like the tactic of agreeing with conditioning. It's like, yeah, you're pretty stupid, whatever, and then you're like, you know, what is it supposed to do after that? If I'm all of that, then where are we going?
Exactly. It just doesn't leave any room for a conversation. And then having taken whatever it is that I'm experiencing into my notion of I, then I'm right there to experience it.
Yes. Yeah. You're just there. It's very similar to what I project Mickey was talking about you know, just... there's the emotion and everything going in a particular direction, and then all of a sudden, there's something that, like a little monkey wrench that you throw into the way it's supposed to be going, and then all of a sudden it just gets enveloped into that, and it's like, yeah, I'm all of that. Okay. June.
The thing that's helpful for me, when I notice that I is... trying to make something happen is to look at where it's coming from. You know, what's this person's intention? Is she trying to, I don't know, get one over on somebody or get something for herself and to heck with anybody else? You know, or is her attitude of mind, it would be really good to get this done. This would be really helpful for whatever, something. And just go from there.
Yes.
So even if she is and I trying to make something happen, as Jim was saying, just be conscious of her intention and just be open literally to helping her. And that seems to me like when the answers, quote unquote, from life just kind of come in, it's kind of like being with a mentor.
Yeah, it sounds like crazy to me as you're talking about it, like being with a mentor where you're just with that part, looking to see what is the intention behind this and what's going on. And so that you could be there to be able to respond to that.
Yeah. And the other part that as we can with preparation.
Preparation.
Practice. Mm-hmm. Two areas of my life, big areas, editing and organizing material that wasn't organized when it was handed to me. I can't do it. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that for a long time.
I kept trying for a long time.
But preparing in the sense of just immersing, getting immersed mm-hmm. in the material mm-hmm. and then just knocking away. Mm-hmm. And coming back to it later, I've said this in your intense, and all of a sudden it just all falls into place. Uh-huh. So you help life. You can help life with that kind of thing uh-huh. by being prepared.
Yeah.
The other course is golf. The more you prepare, the luckier you get.
You narrow down your odds.
Just boost your chances of being willing to let go into the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Preparing allows you to let go and be willing in the moment. And it sounds like that happens with the editing and the organizing too.
Yeah, it's the same. It's very much the same process.
Mm-hmm. Like you need to know, you need to have a preparation and a practice to as a foundation. But after that, it's like, you know, to use the theme that we've been talking about, life provides all the information. There you are with, you know, what I would say would be an equivalent of like jigsaw puzzle pieces all over the place. And it's like, I don't know what this is supposed to be. And all of a sudden you walk over to it, it's like, dink, 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 dink. And then all of a sudden, wow, that's it. Whereas I would be just like, cutting the corners of them just so they fit together. Right, this is the way we're supposed to go. Yeah. Thank you. Teddy.
One of the things that's coming up as I'm listening is how gratitude can dissipate conditionings trying to come in and take over something. I'm just hearing that, what people were saying, that, you know, if conditioning comes in, well, I was watching it this morning as I was sitting. I sat, and how I would, and awareness would arise, and an instant later, a nanosecond later, conditioning would come in to explain to me all about that awareness. And how, if I either resist it or go with it, I'm in trouble. Mm-hmm. But I love that thing that Chiria says, where she says, yeah, you're probably right, but right now what I'm doing is, you know, this other thing. And listening to what other people are saying, that somehow just saying thank you is a great dissipator, actually,
you're a right or you're a wrong. It's not an engagement. It's more of an acknowledgement. Like, yeah, right. Thank you.
And it's not really resistance at all, either.
Yeah.
So it's a really way of moving out of it. And uh-huh. one of the things I've been so struck with the mentor, when the mentor comes in, is that the mentor almost is never addressing whatever conditioning is bringing up. Because mentor lives someplace else. Right. And what the mentor does is take me to that someplace else.
Yes.
And in which what the conditioning is doing is so irrelevant
right.
that that there's no reason to spend any energy on it.
Yeah.
So in a way it feels like that gratitude sort of does the same thing.
Yeah, that it's not even on the same plane. Like if I was picturing it the way you were talking about it, it's like the mentor and the gratitude don't exist in the same world in which conditioning is trying to get you involved in. Conditioning is just trying to get you in getting going along with it. It doesn't matter what.
Right.
It could be you're right or you're wrong, you're good or you're bad.
Yeah.
And it kind of like trying to prove it or whatever. And then the mentor is just, it will say something that will, I mean, it'll just be a presence that is nothing at all related to that.
Yeah. And listening, when Jen was first presenting that sort of that koan about, you know, I want to mm-hmm. not become with an I. mm-hmm. It feels like one of those places we talk about in practice where where by trying to do it, you'll never get there, but if you don't try to do it, you'll never get there. And so I just appreciated that, that it feels like it's one of those places where you kind of set an intention.
Yeah.
And then you're going to bumble a lot in trying to work toward that intention.
Right.
But if you don't set the intention, you're going to probably just stay where you are.
Yeah, well, it's like the image of the razor's edge that was started off. It's like, you know, well, you could not, but then you wouldn't be doing anything, really.
Yeah.
But you would be by the fact that you are not.
Right, right. And then the other thing that came up for me when we were talking about that stepping back is that one of the places I experience when it feels like life is just doing it, the place I experience it is in my body, usually. Mm-hmm. And what characterizes those moments is that it's so relaxing. Mm-hmm. And I when we were walking in England last year with a group of women, we realized that we had misjudged by about 20 miles, the distance from one place to another. And that there was no way on earth we were going to be able to make it in that next day. And we had, you know, reservations and all this kind of stuff. And there was a storm coming. So even if we could have, you know, it would have been like a Donner party. You know? And so we sat around in the room and we just started talking about what the options were. And nobody was, what was so amazing was nobody was kind of concerned or panicked. Mm-hmm. We all just talked about, well, there's this possibility and this possibility and this possibility. It was just sort of mid-afternoon, and then we just sort of went our way. And it was so interesting because I felt like all of us just trusted that whatever needed to happen would emerge, and it did. Mm-hmm. And what I remember was, again, that it was so effortless. Mm-hmm. And so what makes me think of is ever-expanding faith, you know, that it really is a matter of trusting that life's on your side, and I don't know what made it possible in that situation, but I was so grateful. And then what emerged was exquisite. It was elegant. It was wonderful. Mm-hmm. And none of us would have thought of it had we said, well, God, I'm going to solve this problem. You know?
Right.
It was just that we kind of put it all the possibilities we could think of out there and let it rest. And then another one came up.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
The one that none of you would have come up with had you really hunkered down and tried to come up with it.
And we set our jaws and go for it.
Yeah, because that's, you know, when you set your jaw and you go for it, that's the experience that you have. And so what it sounds like you had instead was relaxation, letting go, going off, coming back, allowing life again.
Yeah, it's that funny place of being really unconcerned and very attentive at
very
the same time.
Very attentive and not concerned.
Yeah, it's a different place.
Hmm. Well, thank you.
What arose for me in this conversation, I'm not sure if it's related, but what occurred to me was the experience I've had of living engaged with life in a sort of heartful way. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure I'm quite able to articulate it, but this person has organizational challenges, and
you?
Yeah.
You have organizational challenges, okay. I was just trying to figure out which person.
But then there's also the experience I have where there is a part of me, or maybe it's not, maybe it's just being at center. Maybe it's not necessarily a sub-personality, but the experience of engaging with life in a way that is the particular example that I'm thinking of is working on arranging things on a wall in my hermitage, and had the experience of really just enjoying putting things together in a certain way, so that the color of this brought out the color of that, and just and there's someone or I don't know the language for it, but I had the experience of really in enjoying that and feeling like it was participating in life in a way that was like, here I just happened to have this one card that looked like this and this other thing, uh-huh. and just sort of arranging them in a way that, that was really appealing to me, and the experience was of it being really relaxed and spacious, and mm-hmm. just sort of showing up for what occurred to me to do next.
Yes.
And it's just in this like, well, space of a couple feet or something.
Uh-huh.
That what was occurring to me was just that to bring that relationship with life to all of life, and,
yeah.
And living in that sort of engagement with life.
Yeah, the engagement with life, the relaxation, the allowing whatever arises, you know, that color matches, you know, brings out this color,
mm-hmm.
working with it that way. It's a process, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And you're looking at bringing that, it's within 2 feet mm-hmm. over here,
right.
but you're looking at bringing it out over here.
Mm-hmm. Just to all the areas of life, uh-huh. just that sort of well, the experience felt like it was like life lived in me.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And you were engaged as you were doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's so great. I mean, it's like, life is like that. I mean, it's just, there's, it, when it was described that, you know, like the, I don't know, that list of like, I do things this way, this way, this way, this way. And it's just like hunkering down and then just, I'm going to make it work that way. And then, or I think that it works this way, and then getting a glimpse of that life really works that way, that like the, there's nothing that necessarily has to go together, or does go together, but just arranging things, and all of a sudden, you have something as a result of that, and who knows what kind of different arrangements can are possible when we're just open to life living this that way. It's almost like, I mean, it's just a big, it's the big creative process, you know, like there's nothing and then all of a sudden something arises out of it,
mm-hmm.
and no idea that was there. Seems like the big theme of the morning, too, you know, like even in the trip, you know, like none of us could have come up with it. Well, we didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Life is just saying, okay, move your hand there, okay, try that, and all of a sudden it's just relaxing, there's an enjoyment of it, and I mean, we can master that little process. We could bring it over into life and just, you know, gosh, what kind of life could Amy live? Thank you. Susan.
So I was thinking, for some reason I get so nervous lately, but, you know, because I'm looking at this process of shame, but here's what I think. So, about life living that I was looking at. So, I was thinking that I actually believe that life lives us all the time, that we just don't, ego takes credit for it. So, I remember on this one session, I was walking
mm-hmm.
for days, was sitting for days. It was one of those really long ones. And at, like in the middle, I thought, oh my gosh! I haven't done anything. That something is living me all the time, and ego is telling me I'm doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have this theory. I don't know if it's true, but I have this theory that I believe certain things. So I have whole beliefs that if life were living me, I would look a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
I actually think that life is just living me, and that's how it looks.
Uh-huh.
And that when I can... you know, my thing, my deal is, this is it. You know, like in Sitting Still, I recorded that and I listened to it a lot. But And I remember one time I was feeling bad about, I don't know, doing something, like probably yelling at one of the kids or something, and because if I was allowing life to live me, then I wouldn't do those things. And the guidance was, well, how do you know?
Right.
You know, how do you know? So I kind of think that the thing that keeps me from feeling it, from knowing it, is karma or resistance or believing my stories. But I'm not convinced that I would have done life a lot differently had I been more present to it. I think there would have just been a lot more relief. Yeah, right. I think I would have felt better.
Right, there wouldn't have been a whole lot of conditioning, taking credit or
right.
taking blame.
Right, but I think that, I don't know, I sort of feel when I look over my life like it's unfolded. Life has unfolded and led me in certain... What?
It's funny, it's like the old, if you had known better, you would have done different.
Right.
But you didn't.
Right. And I'm not convinced I would have. You know, who knows? If I were really present, maybe it would have just been okay to do it that way.
Yeah, who knows?
I mean, I don't know, right? We don't know. Mm-hmm. But if there's nothing wrong, and we just let it live.
Right.
So, you know, I went to church this morning. One of the things, I don't know if this is what it said, but I was reading some scriptural passage, and essentially this is what I think it said. Something like, what people think is wise isn't, and what God thinks is wise, people wouldn't think is wise. That's not exactly, of course, what it said. But, you know, I start thinking about, you know, the saints. You know, St. Francis, everybody said he was crazy. Or Mother Teresa, or even Sherry Huber. You know, I mean, I think she's crazy. and I just think that we just don't know, you know. We just don't know. Mm-hmm. And it can be relaxing to just think, well... And I think, well, at least for me, when I think, wow, life is living me, there's an ability to let go and feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And then catch those things other people were pointing at, catch the insights and be more present.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I was thinking. I think that's all.
Thank you. Sequoia.
That was a great conversation this morning. I kind of woke up with the question of what is it to be an adult, a grown-up? Mm-hmm. You know, what is it to be responsible? And just in sharing right now, I feel like I'm practicing letting life live me.
Yeah.
You know, it's like what we were talking about yesterday, bringing, you know, what we experience on the cushion and out into all of life. And... because I'm not really too sure what I'm going to say right now, but it's so much has come up, you know, and it really resonated with me, and the whole thing about, first of all, having a commitment and being clear what my commitment is, and you know, the whole thing about not having a conversation about what you do and how it
works,
and... And even dropping a story around that, and just a case in point, I was watching this morning, you know, just cutting flowers and arranging flowers, and there's something that's something a personality loves to do that.
Uh-huh.
You know, she just loves to do it, and it's one of those things like it. You know, it is one of those things like, oh, we'll go over there and get that. We'll go over there and get that. You know, it's like what Amy was describing and putting colors together. It's like it's just there.
Right.
You know, you go there.
Just it's like the next thing is right
there. The
next
thing is right there. And but it's also one of those activities when the voices just scream at me a lot, you know?
Uh-huh.
It seems like the thing that, often the thing that I may be good at or that I really enjoy, it's like I get the most conversation about.
Huh.
You know, okay, you know, hurry up. You're not doing that fast enough. You need, you know, and it's just watching that whole thing that goes on.
Well, it's neat that you're watching it as it's going on, because that's it's just coming in there to. I guess you probably figured out what it's trying to do.
Yeah, and I take me from the things that, you know,
mm-hmm.
that are just life living.
Yeah. Exactly. And you're when you started off, you said that you have a commitment and. Listening to the story and listening to the voices is not part of that.
Right. Well, just remembering that there's an an opportunity to live what I'm committed to inform my actions.
Yes.
You know, even though I might not know what the next action is, or
right.
You know, that I do know what I'm committed to.
Right, and there's no conversation in there.
Yeah.
I mean, you could have one,
yeah.
But then why would you have a conversation about a commitment?
Right.
That's one of the beauties of what we sometimes talk about commitment as, I'm saying that I'm going to do that. There, all the conversation is gone. I'm doing that.
Yeah.
And so it sounds like that's the foundation for you, that this is your commitment, and so you can go off and arrange flowers.
Yeah, and trust, you know, mm-hmm. And trust that, that there's action coming out of that commitment, regardless of what I mean.
Yes, yeah.
Regardless of the story that's coming around about that.
Despite.
Uh-huh. You know, and I guess I see that as part of being a responsible grown-up, you know, is of living in that place. And now it's like, okay, some stupid bitch just got sprinkled over me.
Well, being a grown-up is living in that place,
yeah.
Where you have this commitment and practicing that.
And practicing from there, and, you know, just looking at, there's such a deep, this identified I, her idea of what it was to be a responsible grown-up,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like, you get to turn the TV to the channel you want, you get to go to bed when you want, and you get to have a drink when you want. You know, she thought that's what was being a responsible grown-up. You know, and that's just another person that has to be taken care of by everybody.
You know? Honey. Service that is just not acting out of your conditioning, not acting out of any conditioning, just not having any relationship with that at all, just free of that,
yeah.
And responding from what life has there for you.
I think this, you know, brings us to the place of being able to have a joyful experience of whatever is in front of us, rather than that small contracted.
Yeah, that little spot there.
Listening to the conversation, something that came up for me is kind of looking at my relationship with my conditioning and seeing that when it comes up and starts doing its thing, that's a great opportunity to suffer, or it's a great opportunity to laugh. There was on the radio show recently, there was someone talking about having difficulty with a coworker, and Sherry advised that person to just regard that person as a comedian. You know, so they're saying mean, hateful things. What a joker! and it works really well with conditioning too, because it's just, if you listen to it, it's the best kind of absurdist humor. It has nothing to do with anything. It's just bizarre juxtapositions and whatnot. And you know, it's all so hateful that it's like, how could that be serious?
Right. Like how can it be so serious?
Yeah. So. That's just a kind of a little piece that came up for me. And I was looking a little bit about the, sort of related to the letting life live you. So when I was in junior college, for whatever reason, my junior college had some connection with a Tibetan Buddhist organization.
Mm-hmm.
So these Tibetan Buddhist monks just kind of cruising around in their robes and whatnot in classes. And one time they got together and did a demonstration of the sand painting.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was about 3 days that they were at this for 8 hours a day. And it was just that they took over this big room in the art department and had this huge table, just massive, like 8 foot by 8 foot table or something like that. And there were three or four of them, and they had these little cones filled with colored sand, and they were just going along, and, you know. And so for these 3 days, you know, they just cared so deeply about where every single grain of sand went. And then that thing was done for like 10 seconds. And then just, boom, just wiped all the way. And it was just this, you know, that was kind of stunning for me. Whoa! You guys spent a lot of time. I mean, I felt exhausted watching you guys do that. And you just kind of wipe it all away, and it's just the, you know, the caring in that moment about where that grain of sand is, and once the moment's passed, it's fine. And it occurred to me that kind of, it seems like the Zen aesthetic is that in all of life. So whatever I'm doing, I care very deeply about what's going on there, and then in the next moment, if something else has to happen with that, that's okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, I might know that a typhoon is going to blow my house down tomorrow, but today I'm going to make sure everything is just so, so that it, you know, so that it can be as beautiful as it can be, you know.
Yes.
So that this object goes over here because that gives it the best chance to display its beauty to the world.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of for all things, and no matter what's going to happen with it in the next moment, in this moment, I'm going to give it that kind of care.
Yeah, and that translates to us as well. You know, like, I know that I'm going to die someday, and I'm going to get blown off like all that sand. And so do I say to heck with this life, or do I make it the best, most glorious thing possible?
Yeah, and in every single moment, taking the opportunity to arrange the life so that it has its best opportunity to kind of to be beautiful.
Thank you. Melinda.
Oh, I really love that. That getting down to, we've been sort of working with somebody recently who uses the term granularity. And I saw that in the Tibetan monks with every grain of sand, caring where every grain of sand goes. And then getting to that point of it's finished, we're done with it. Just something about, I just really appreciate the that caring in each moment without being concerned about tomorrow or yesterday has us living in that place of caring for each grain of sand, caring for the carpet. We talk about caring for the car, for the car.
Yeah.
And it just feels like such an open and expansive and inclusive space to live, and I really appreciate having that. I watched Tibetan monks doing that once in a different kind of setting, and it was really awesome. The amount of attention and care and patience. I wasn't there when they blew it away, but I knew that that had happened. And just the utter joy I can project onto being that present in those moments.
The utter joy of being present in those moments.
Yeah, in the way that really everything that comes into my awareness is worthy of care. Everything I take on is worthy of attention and care. Including me.
Yes.
Including this being.
Well, when you said all that, you know, caring for the car, caring for the grains of sand, caring for the life, it's like the common theme through all that was caring.
Yeah.
And that's the experience that you're having as you're doing all those things. That's what you're having at that very moment.
Yes, being cared for.
Being cared for.
Yeah.
Susan?
I'm just hit with a lot of freedom suddenly listening to this. I was telling a lot of stories about the weekend being hard.
And the weekend was hard?
That was the story I was telling.
Uh-huh.
And as I listened to this conversation and took it in, I was thinking, I was examining it differently, and I was seeing a great deal of letting life live through me with this storyline on the side about it being hard.
Mm-hmm.
And that when I took that away for a minute and looked at what I was doing through the weekend, there was a lot of smiling and laughing and spontaneity and all those things. There was nothing hard about that. The hard part was the story about what all of that meant or might mean or what it needed to be. And it was just amazing to listen to this and then go, you know what if you take that story and you put that over there, because that's not real, and you just see what's left. There's a lot of moments that very, very few of them were unpleasant.
And right, smiling, laughing.
Yeah. So I sit here kind of going, wow. You know, I'm just amazed by that.
Yeah, it is a big wow, isn't it? It is amazing. I mean, that's one of the things on one of our t-shirts. Joy is what's there, and we stop doing everything else. And it's like all the, there's something wrong, and there's problems. Those are all off to the side, the way you described, because that's where they are, and they're imaginary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what's left is a whole bunch of freedom.
Yeah. And and then the other piece that I think is woven in there is the idea of the sand painting, which I've also seen, and the idea that that is an offering, and that once it's complete, the offering's made, and so it has no relevance, and thinking about each moment that I live as an offering, not just to those around me, but to myself as well, that there's something about, I think I always heard offering as self-sacrifice. And when I was hearing about the caring, I was hearing about all of it being an organism that's just, myself included, that's just offering.
Yeah, an offering mm-hmm. as an organism
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
to life.
Yeah, so that I'm just full of joy right now. That was great.
So thank you very much. Mm-hmm. June.
That was good. I've been being told a story this morning. I had a very pleasant evening last night, and that system picked this little thing that I supposedly did and has been talking to me about it all morning. And if I were to say it out loud, you would all just shake your head and sad. and the quote that Sherry says that was mentioned, that might be so, but right now, and the thing about just agreeing with it, yes, it's very possible that was just not the thing to have done in that moment, and so what? That's just, yeah.
And there you are.
So just listening this morning and hearing various things, it sort of helped shine light on something I was pretty caught up in, totally past. That sand painting,
yes, got blown away.
Let's just get right back into the enjoyment of all the rest of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's very possible that the fact that it was enjoyable is the reason the story was there.
Mm-hmm. A little thing that it's going to pick out to wipe away.
to all keep this happened. Person in its grasp.
Yes, yeah, right.
Clutching.
Look at this. Look at this.
I like the offering. I love the offering and the caring because I love having a clean kitchen. And when I clean it, it stays clean for like 30 seconds.
It is a sand painting, isn't it?
That's what I was thinking. I mean, it's finally identified when I started to say it. And that's what I saw when others were talking. I'm like, oh my gosh, I have this great opportunity to joyfully do this thing as an offering. To me, really. Nobody else cares, Alex. They're leaving it there. Rather than, nobody else cares. I'm the only one. That's the story.
That's right.
Most of the time.
And one could see that it could be possible to live that way.
Totally. It is possible. I'm a living example. But to just it be an offering, it would just be so lovely. To attempt that perspective.
Yeah, could you imagine that you know, just in the description of the monks making the sand painting, they were grueling over it, miserable.
And they were all painstaking. Nobody comes in and does anything. Yeah.
Don't touch it.
Exactly.
Don't breathe on it.
Don't breathe on it. Nobody look. Or be out.
That's right.
Yeah. So,
or.
So if I could do, or I'll be, I'll pretend, this is so good, this would happen first. Tibetan monk. I'm here putting all my attention on this dish as an offering.
Can you imagine that?
I way of caring for myself.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Albert Torbeck.
Yeah. Thank you. Yes, do. Vicki.
The other thing that was coming to me this morning is in group recently last week, we were asked to come up with a word that was practice for us, you know, that represents practice for us, and it would be a touchstone for representing practice in the world. And my word was kindness, and I find it really helpful to, when I'm in one of those places where I'm not quite there and I'm getting frantic, to ask the question, is this kind? Mm-hmm. I was in the monastery kitchen on Friday, and part of the recipe called for wanding 24 cloves of garlic, and which is a challenge for me. But first of all, first time I ever came up with a recipe that said garlic wanded, it took me about a half an hour to figure out what that meant. But anyway, but it's a task that's kind of, it takes a while to do that with 24 cloves of garlic, and I was getting into that. This kind of thing, which is dangerous, actually, with that tool. And
because you could wand not only
yeah,
the garlic.
I was going to say that. I could have wanded several knuckles. but I just, you know, I just stopped and I said, is this kind, you know, is this kind to me, who's getting, you know, either going to lose knuckles or have a heart attack because I'm so determined to get this done fast, or is it even kind to the food to be putting that kind of thing in it that I'm frantically, you know, beating the life out of it there because I need to get it done. And it was just such a nice way to come back to, you know, I think there's another way to be with this. You know, there's a way to be kind to the food I'm preparing and a way to be kind to the person that's preparing it that still gets the job done. But without this kind of a beating, really, to get it done.
Right, yeah. Because when you describe that, what you're describing is getting a sense of what's going on, just having that word kindness come into your awareness, remind you that this is what you want to live from, and asking that question just pulls you out of that experience of what it is to live with this force driving you to do what it is that it says you need to do. It's very much like what folks have been saying.
Yeah.
On board.
Yeah, exactly. That's what made me think of it. So it's like, you know, conditioning or kindness, you know, choose.
Yeah, you know what you'll have if you choose this, and you know what you'll have when you choose this. This experience.
Yeah,
so asking that allowed you to see, well, how, what would be kind, how could it be kind, and just trying it out.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing, making our way.
That's right.
Thank you all.